It's the fullness of joy, and at his right hands They have pleasured them more. So it's time to shake whatever you were going through before you got here. Amen. Amen. Who came to hear a word from God?
Amen.
Amen. The scripture says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. Amen. Verse 12 reads, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly towards to you. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word of the church said. Blessed all your name, and you may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we're dealing tonight with walking in godly sincerity. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, he said, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity, and this word simplicity means holiness, it means without hypocrisy, not self-seeking, and it also means to be mentally honest, right? We know about honest, but this verse of simplicity means to be mentally honest. Amen. That means our own lives, we have to be honest with ourselves, not self-seeking, amen, not seeking our own, but honesty in the sight of God. And as I looked the word up, I said, you know, a lot of times we read about honesty, but it says mentally honest, right? So when you're dealing with mental honesty, that's an individual thing, amen? So simplicity and what kind of sincerity? Godly sincerity. There's a whole lot of people walking in church and they're godly, but how sincere are they? Now, if you were to think of sincere, when a person is sincere, nobody has to check on them. Right? When you're sincere, nobody has to check on you. Amen. If you go a million miles away, you're going to still be the same because it is sincere. Even in the midst of bad company, you're going to do the right thing because you are sincere. So Paul said, first, the conscience has to be right. Then after the conscience is right, you have to have mental honesty. Then after you're mentally honest, he said you have to be godly sincere. This is what we should be consumed with in these last and even days as a church. Walking in godly sincerity. There's a whole lot of people in church walking godly, but they are not sincere. Amen. Because when things don't go the way they want, they will take it out on the church. They would take it out on other people, and they will even have the nerve to take it out on God and question God as to why. Well, if you're walking sincerely, that means you say, Lord, I trust you. I believe, Lord, that you're in full control. And how many know that God won't allow anything to happen? God will never allow anything to happen to overthrow us. But God permits us to have tests in our lives to see what's going on with us. Amen. The Bible says that God is faithful and he will never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, but he will with the temptation make a way to escape that we might be able to bear. But when you're not sincere, when a person is not walking in godly sincerity, they always find fault. They always find reasons for why they can't do what they know the Lord requires of them. So Paul said, my conscience has to first be right. You cannot walk in godly sincerity if your conscience is not right. And you can't walk in godly sincerity if you're not mentally honest. Now, there are times when we go through things, and you ever be, not in here, on some of those other churches, yeah, that's what I say. Are you all right? You know I'm all right. You know you're all right. Y'all talk to me, right? You ever, I'm talking in other churches, down the street, across the corner, in the back. Say, are you all right? Yes, I'm all right. And in the back of your mind, you just got so much stuff going on. That is not sincere. That is not honest. That is not mental honesty. You don't have to tell what's going on, but if you're going through something, don't say everything is fine. That's all right if you projected it in faith, but if you're not being sincere, and that's the thing we want to deal with tonight. How sincere are we walking before God? That is the question, sincerity. It's not, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. Amen. God called me to be a leader, but we have to all make our own individual decisions. How sincere are you? Not before the church, not before the saints, but how sincere are you walking before God? Amen. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Walking in godly sincerity. How sincere are you? Amen. It's like growing up as young people, when you deal with, it's awfully hot here. Man, I'm even hot. Oh, I gotta ask you, Uncle Tenzi. Are you hot, Uncle Tenzi? Never mind, I already know. Sister Tenzi, Uncle Tenzi, you gotta get some Geritol. Geritol helped get the blood pumping. I know I'm hot, so excuse the coat, but I gotta take it off. Stop making faces like that. There's people to let's don't get distracted. Amen. Sincerity. How sincere are you? Now, like I said, there are times when we're walking, I know even as growing up, when you go from childhood to adolescence to young adult to adult, a lot of people say, I'm with you all the way. Right? But they're not sincere. Because when the first thing goes wrong, they are out of the picture. And I wonder tonight, how many of us are sincerely walking with God? And we say, Lord, no matter what, I'm with you. Paul said, it doesn't matter whether my life or my death. He said, I am committed to the Lord. He said, whether by life or death, Christ shall be magnified in my body. That is sincere. And in other words, he said, Lord, whatever you permit to come my way, I'm going to deal with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 reads, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, what are the promises? They're all in the 6th chapter. God promises to be our Father, and we would be his sons and daughters if we separate ourselves from all ungodliness. Those are the promises, amen? Dearly beloved, let us cleanse our, it's an individual thing. Let us cleanse what? Ourselves. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Right, so we know we can have problems in the flesh, but how about in the spirit? Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Paul said we have walked honestly. We haven't tried to fool or trick anybody. We've been sincere. When you're sincere, you don't act one way in front of one group and another way in front of another group, because that is defrauding. That is not honest. That is not sincere. Amen? Verse 3 reads, I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before, that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on. Paul said we went through a whole lot, but we stayed with God. We went through a whole lot of challenges. He said, not on some side, but on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice more. He said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I preceded the same epistle that made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance. Paul, his whole concern was that they were right before God. Repentance makes you right, not before man, but before God. Amen? He said, I'm to repent, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though it were but for a season. But ye sorrow to repentance, for you were made sorry after a... We're walking in godly sincerity. So he said, you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to... So I just want to be godly. If you have godly sorrow and it works repentance, that means I was in error. But I got it right the right way. I was in error. But walking in godly sincerity, I got it right the right way. Okay? Godly merit that ye might receive damage by, not to be repented of, but sorrow of this world worketh death. So what Paul was saying, there are times when the church have things that are wrong. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, meaning there is a change. But the sorrow of this world says, I got caught. I'm sorry. But they don't repent. How do we know? Because they would do the same thing again. That's not walking in godly sincerity. David, when he sinned and failed God, he said, Lord, it's against thee and thee only have I sinned and committed this great transgression. And David realized the importance of the Lord. He said, Lord, even though I'm wrong, even though I messed up, he said, whatever you do, don't cast me away from your presence. He said, and Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. He said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thine, not my salvation, thy salvation. That is repentance. That is godly sorrow. Yes, he was exposed for being wrong, but he did not justify himself. And most of all, he did not repeat it. So if I'm walking in godly sincerity, when I'm wrong, I make it right and I don't repeat the wrong. But when you're not godly sincere, you mess up, and because you don't have the right conscience and you're not mentally honest, you will do it again. But godly sincerity says, you know what? God has been too good. I say, God has been too good. I really deserve judgment, but because God was so good, he gave me mercy. I really deserve punishment, but God was good to me anyhow, and knowing that the goodness of the Lord is intended to lead me unto repentance. So if I'm walking in godly sincerity, I'm honest when nobody else is around. Amen. The temptations, now we're going to all be tempted because the Bible says that many as shall live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution or temptation. So they're going to be tested. So when you walk godly, don't think it's easy. You're going to be challenged. Paul says many of the afflictions of the righteous. Amen. He said you're going to go through some stuff. When he went back confirming the souls and encouraging them, he said we shall do much tribulation. Enter into the kingdom. So they're going to be tests and challenges. But if you're sincere, even when you don't understand it, you say, Lord, I still trust you. Right? I mean, you ever hit one of those trials, you say, wow, where did this come from? Anybody get hit with some of those? Yeah, like almost every week things become. I didn't expected big ones. You know, the big ones? The big ones, you know, Evander Holyfield, he gave a speech once, I don't know how many of you are remember this. He said, the punches that you see coming aren't the ones that aren't hurt, they're not the ones that hurt you. He said, the punches you don't see, that's the one that hurts. He said, they were asking about the time he got knocked down by somebody. He said, the punches, he said, oh, that's when he was fighting, what's George Foreman? Remember George Foreman was hitting him, just beating him all over the ring. He said, well, those weren't the ones that hurt, even though they hurt. He said, the one that hurt was the one I didn't see coming. Those are the things that hurt. Well, we don't see them come, the big one. But what do we do in the big one if we're walking in godly sincere? We don't point a finger and blame God. We don't get all messed up in our conscience and mind. We still walk in simplicity. Remember this, simplicity is sincere. It's not an hypocrisy. Sincerity is not self-seeking. Simplicity, I mean, is in mental honesty. Mentally honest. When I'm not gonna, mentally honest means I'm not gonna say one thing when I'm thinking another, right? Y'all ever see people like that? Every once in a while, sometimes? Maybe? Has it ever happened to you? You said one thing, but you were thinking, that's not mentally honest, right? When you're not mentally honest, guess what? Your conscience is not clear. Your conscience condemns you because you're saying one thing in the back of your mind, you say, oh, I'm just lying, right? I know, y'all are pretty holy. I know, y'all go through those kind of things, right? Y'all so holy, y'all. I'm talking about me. You're saying one thing in the back of your mind, you're thinking another, and your conscience is beating you up. That is not sincere. And that is not godly sincerity. Because you're projecting one thing, but you're actually thinking another. How can you walk godly sincere when you're not altogether honest? How can you be godly sincere if you're not honest? It's a quiet church. But I like quiet churches. Thank you. Well, let's keep going. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrow after a... sorrow after a... what kind of sort? A godly sort. Now let's go to 3 John chapter 1. Actually, there's only one chapter in 3 John. Let's go to 3 John. Now we're talking about doing it after a godly sort. We're talking about tonight walking in godly sincerity. And you know the only one that knows besides God and how sincere you are is you. Amen. You cannot, when you defraud, to defraud means that you are deceiving, right? To defraud means you are deceiving. It means you are acting deceptively because you're projecting one thing, but mentally you're thinking another. That is not honest. If you are projecting one thing physically or externally, but mentally you are thinking another, that is not honest. And that is not simplicity, and it certainly is not godly sincerity. When you are sincere, you project what you think. You don't try to fool anyone. You don't act one way in church and another way in the world. You don't act one way in front of the saints and another way when you get home, because that is not, that's not sincere. You don't act one way in front of the church and the saints and another way when you get to work. That is not sincere. To be sincere, of godly sincerity, you're like an evergreen tree. You're the same in all seasons. You don't change. You don't alter. You don't project something that you are not. Amen? 3 John chapter 1, the first verse read, "The elder unto the well-beloved is, whom I love in the..." It got to be high in the truth. Amen. If you don't do it in truth, you might as well not to do it. Because the Bible knows the reasoning behind everything that we do. Amen. If it's not in truth, you shouldn't do it. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the..." What? The truth. People can see when you're truthful. People know when you are honest. He said, "The brethren testified of the truth that is in thee, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou knowest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to you." He said, so because you're walking in truth, you are faithful whether you're with the saints or not. Amen. When you're sincere, when you walk in truth, it doesn't matter who's around you, you are still the same. Because you are faithful. Well, who are you faithful to? To God. I'm faithful to God. So if nobody, if I'm caught in a situation, I have to make a choice. That if I'm in the truth, now some people say you don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And you bend the truth. That's, the Bible calls that a lie. Anything that's not the truth is what? A lie. So you can't bend the truth to make somebody feel good when it's not the truth. Amen. Jesus told us who's the father of all lies. Who's that? The devil's the father of all lies. Amen. So we're trying to walk in truth. So if I'm not walking in truth, and if I walk in a lie, what influence am I under? Under the devil's influence. Every time you misrepresent the truth, whether it's to the smallest degree, that is not God. Because God is a God of truth. Amen? He said, verse 6, "Which are born witness of the charity, the love before the..." You know, when you live in the truth and right, everybody knows it. Amen. The stranger knows it and the church knows it as well. "Whom if thou bring forward on the journey after him..." You got to be what? God. I don't care what it is. You know, a lot of times we say, "Well, I'm just human." Yeah, but you're still supposed to be saved. Right? You're supposed to be saved. And because you're saved, yes, I'm human. But Paul said, "I have the Spirit of God in me, and that helps me to keep under my body." The Spirit of God in me helps me to do the right thing, though I'm tempted to do the wrong. And I walk in truth. Tonight, we all need to all just do a self-examination. When you walk in truth, you never have to look back. You never have to cover. You never have to try to explain things because people know the truth. But I was walking in truth. That was But when you walk in the truth, you don't ever have to worry about people wondering and guessing what you did because you're always truthful. But when you walk in truth, and you walk in dishonesty, people really don't know you. They don't know your character. They don't know your nature because you projected the wrong thing. So Paul says about this, he said, you walk in truth. He said, you're going forth on your journey after a godly sort. He said, as long as you're doing that, thou shalt do what? Well. So tonight, we're talking about walking in godly, sincerely, and walking in the truth. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. When I leave tonight, can we at least be honest with ourselves? Be honest with yourself because God already knows. Amen. We can project one thing before people, But if we're not sincere, God already knows the truth. He told the church in Sardis, thou have a name that you live in, but you are what you did. Titus chapter 2, and let's go to verse 1. It says, but speak now the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 7. He says, in all things show thyself a pattern of and what? All things. So I'm walking in godly sincerity. So I have to show myself a pattern of good works and right? In all things, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and
sincerity.
You gotta be sincere. The question that I'd like to, for you to consider is, how can you truly be saved if you're not really sincere? How can you truly be saved if you're not sincere? Because when I'm sincere, it doesn't matter what happens, I have a one desire, and that is to please God. Even if it means I might seem to be put to the worst in marriage, I still want to please God, so I have to be sincere. So verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto me. And what does God's grace do? It teaches us. Well, what does it teach us? Teaching us to deny first. We can't walk godly sincere if we have an ungodly lifestyle. If you project ungodliness, you cannot be godly sincere. The first thing that God's grace teaches us is to deny ungodliness. And we have the tendency, not you all, but other people. Look at somebody and say, other people. They don't have to relax and do something. See? Other people. Other people have the tendency to do the wrong thing and think God's going to accept it because I got the Holy Ghost and feel, I got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I got a name. But Psalm 138 verse 2 says he magnified his word above his name. So you know what that means? You have to be true to the word and the name. Many in church are baptized in Jesus' name and more hypocritical and live such a double lifestyle than anywhere. God does not honor that. So if you're going to be saved, the first thing you got to do is get rid of ungodliness. And you know what the thing about ungodliness is? When you act ungodly, God lets us know, including myself. If you respond ungodly, God lets you know. But if we have a stubborn spirit, we know we're wrong, but we keep going. God doesn't like that. We want to be saved. Well, the first thing the grace of God teaches you is deny ungodliness and don't act like the world. Right? We got people in church. I know the guy's name, but I won't say his name. Years ago, he said the problem with the church is the church want to be saved, but they won't act like the world. Some of y'all might remember, but I ain't gonna say his name. I'm gonna protect his name for the sake of innocence, huh? Yeah. Don't twist it. I want to do it my way. Don't twist it. I want to say it my way. It's not a personal interpretation. This ain't the word. Well, what he said is this. He said the problem with saved women is they want a saved man with worldly ways. That's what he said. All right. It's still the same thing. They want to be saved, but act like the world. God said, if you want to be saved, you have to deny ungodliness and anything that is a reflection of the worldly lust. Because the Bible said all that's in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, this thing is not of God, but is of the world. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. We might go to that if we have time. All right? World of love, we should live soberly, right? Soberly, you just got to live truthfully. You got to live honestly. And what is teaching us this? God's grace Every time you go through a trial, God dispenses grace. Because grace is God's help when you need it. So in the midst of the trial, God is giving you grace. You're going through something, God is giving you grace. Now, God's giving you grace. He said, now, I don't want you to do it the ungodly way. He said, I don't want you to do it after the world. But how many of us, when we go through something, we don't do it God's way? But we are practicing the precepts and concepts of the world. That's why the scripture said, come out from among them and be separate. Not said to the man, not said to the preacher, but said to the Lord. So God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldliness, that we should live soberly, righteously, mean right standing, and godly. Not when you get to heaven. Right, everybody said, when I get to heaven. He said, how are you supposed to live? Where? In this. Right now, that's what God wants us to live. God wants us to live righteously. God wants us to live godly. God wants us to live sincerely right now in this present world. And now let's go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. So how are we to live in this world? Godly. Amen. God wants us to live godly. There's no excuse. So we're walking in sincerely and we're walking godly. This is all we're trying to do is our own self-examination. Amen. This is your own quiz. This is your pop quiz. You grade yourself. Don't pass it to anybody else. Grade yourself. Amen. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 reads, Paul, a servant of God, and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledged. You know, it's always, God's word is full of what? Truth. The acknowledging of the truth, which is after. So when you're truthful, you are God. So when you're not truthful, then you are ungodly. Acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So when I'm godly, I'm always truthful. When I say something, people, wherever they may be, don't question the veracity of what I'm saying because I am godly, and because I'm godly, I'm going to be truthful. But if I'm not godly, it's always a question mark in people's mind. What am I really representing? Because if I'm not godly, I'm not truthful. You cannot be truthful without being godly. You cannot be godly without being truthful. Amen? Verse 2 reads, in hope of eternal life, which God that God cannot lie. Promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through. God manifests what he wants to what? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, he said, I left thee in Crete that thou shouldest sit in. God said, there's some things that need to be set in order. Amen. The things that are wanted and ordained elders in every city as I appointed thee. There are some things that are wanting. There are some things that are short. And what are those things? Godly sincerity. God wants us to be sincere. God wants us to walk in truth. We know better than ourselves if we're walking truthfully. Amen. We know if we have learned to play the game, we've learned to deceive and to walk deceptively. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. We're talking about walking in godly sincerity. Not after the world, not after anything but God. Amen. Hebrews 12, 28 reads, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. We have a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God. I acceptably. So if we got to serve God acceptably, then there's a way of serving God that's not acceptable. Amen. We want to serve God how? Acceptably. But how do we serve Him acceptably? With what? Reverence and godly fear. You cannot serve God your way and make God accept it. It has to be with reverence and godly fear. Now let's go to Psalm 4, verse 1 through 3. Amen. I have 10 minutes, and I promise I will get all the scriptures that don't come to my mind out. I said, there are a whole lot that came. I didn't go there. I'll stand on course. Amen. You know, sometimes y'all get a chance to read y'all Bible, so I do this on Bible nights. I read these scriptures because I help y'all read. Okay, because you know, sometimes we get so busy, we don't get a chance to read our Bible, so I just go through the whole Bible. I didn't go through the Old Testament. Oh, now I'm going to the Old Testament now. Did I say Psalms? Yeah, I went down. We're reading the Bible together. Amen? Yeah. All right, Psalms chapter 4, verse 1 reads, hear me when I call, O God of my right. When you call and you're in right standing with God, God will hear you. Amen. We will go over that scripture in just a minute. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory? God is dealing with it. He said, how long are you going to turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love? God said, how long will you love stuff that's not truthful? When your vanity is false, it's vain, it's not true. He said, how long will you love things that's not true and seek after false? Leasing is false. He said, now that's a question that's taking a selah, that's a spiritual pause. Think about that. Verse 3 said, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is. God has set you apart for who? Himself. So no matter what, just be God. And God will take care of you. Peter said, God knows how to deliver the godly. If you just God, just be godly, because if you're godly, God has set the godly apart for. So when you walk in godly, you belong to God. Amen. Regardless to what comes your way, stay with God. Because God has set you apart from Himself. The Lord will hear when I call. Because you're walking godly, God will hear every time you call. He might not give you the answer you want, but first of all, He said, you belong to God. When you're walking in truth and godly sincerity, who do you belong to? God said, because you're mine, when you call, I'm going to hear you. And not only am I going to hear you, He said, but I'm going to send you an answer. Amen? Now, let's go to 1 Timothy, and we're going to go to verses, let's go to verse 9, 10, 11. We won't read all of them. Let's just go to 9, 10, 11. Now, we're talking about being how godly. Saying when you walk godly, you belong to who? To God. God said that when you walk right, when you're living right, when you're doing the best you can to the best of your ability without making excuses and acting ungodly, then you belong to me. And when you belong to me, then you have the promise for me that there's not a weapon formed against you that shall prosper. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 4 reads, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the. We labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the who? The living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He said, these things teach, command, and teach. He is the Savior of all men. We are to walk in God's word. We are to walk in what? Truth. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Amen. We're going on a spiritual safari tonight. But when we leave, can we just be right with the Lord? Amen. Verse 1 reads, "Let as many as serveth as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit that these things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to everything about God is godly. The doctrine which is according to godliness." He said, if you don't teach this, now this is the problem. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doing about question and strife of, when you ever people just talk forever and don't say nothing? Right? You know why? Because they're not after God. They're not sincere. They're not godly. So all they do is talk in circles. And when you finish talking to them, you leave and you're more confused than before you started. Because they just went in a circle. Matter of fact, you ever talk to people, you say, wow, where were they going? I don't know where they were at. Seriously, you ever talk to people that went in circles and everywhere? And when you leave, you say to yourself, I don't even know what they said. Seriously. Some people are like that. They just do all this talking, and when they finish, you're like, shh, what did they say? They just going all in circles and everywhere else, right? Because they're not sincere. All the people are trying to always do is try and stone you or get the advantage. That's not how God. He said they're proud, knowing nothing, but doing about questions and strife of words. Wherefore come envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse, disputing of men's what kind of mind? And they don't know the truth. When people don't know the truth, they just spit out anything. Amen. Supposing that gain is godliness, he says, from such. But if you are godly, you have great gain. No, it didn't say that. Yeah, I just fooled y'all. It's godliness of what? There's a whole lot of people in church say godly. Good God Almighty, they have no contentment at all. Right? A whole lot of people in church, you see them, how are you? Y'all ever see some of them? Y'all ain't never seen some of them? Y'all got no mirror? Y'all got a mirror? One of the pocket mirrors? Y'all got any pocket mirrors? What are those things called? Pocket mirrors. Oh, they call them. Y'all ain't seen some of them before? Pull out the mirror. Amen. Seriously, people say, what? People can make you wonder, right? You're in church. You know, sometimes you ask somebody, say, hey, has God done anything good for you? But godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to practice some contentment. You know, some of us are so godly, but all we can ever see is all the wrong. The glass is always empty. Never half full. We can never see the positive in anything. We only see the negative because we're not content. He said godliness with contentment, right? So if he says godliness with contentment, then there can be godliness without contentment. Now this is just something for us to examine ourselves for. You know, some people say, man, I'm so glad. Man, I don't want to go to that job tomorrow. You better be blessed you got a job. You know what I'm saying? But you say, I got to go do this. People see you come and they say, wow, what happened to him? That's the light of the world. A city that's set on him cannot be hid. You be looking at that light and say, whoa, if that's the light, I just go in darkness. Because you don't have no. Now listen, when the world see us, we could be having the worst of the worst. But they should know it because we should be content. Amen. Godliness with contentment is what kind of game? world and asserted we can care enough about. And as long as you have food and clothes, you ought to be content. Amen? Food and clothing, and we'll close in Philippians chapter 4. Alright, close in chapter 4. Be godly, but get some contentment. Amen. Now, we're not talking about happiness. Happiness is external. Happiness depends on what's happening around you. But the church ought to have joy. That's what Paul says, rejoice. And again, I say read. And joy, when Paul, thank God, when Paul wrote that about rejoicing, he was on an oasis on some paradise. He was where? In prison. Right? Even in a negative situation, he was trying to encourage others. How many of us are free with that when we're in prison? Because we don't have joy. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He said, be careful for nothing. You know, in everyday English, he says, stop worrying yourself to death. He said, why do you got all this worry and anxiety? Do you believe that God is in control? He's not. Do you believe that God can work it out? He's not. He said, be careful for nothing. But then, if we ever follow the biblical scriptural prescription for success, we'll make it. But we don't like to follow God because we feel as though if I follow God, I might mess up or I might lose out. Let me tell you something. Don't you follow God, you never lose out. You will never mess up. Don't feel as though if I'm following God, I'm going to lose some stuff. No. If you follow God and you continue, you're going to have what kind of gain? Great gain. Somebody said, I don't never gain, all I ever lose. Where's your godliness and where's your contentment? If you don't gain, then you're losing. Everything always seems to be subtracted or extracted from you. Where's your godliness and where's your contentment? Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With what? Say, Lord, I don't understand, but I thank you anyhow. Lord, I wish my situation was different, but I thank you. Amen. Learn to thank God, because thanking God, I say, Lord, I'm just content where I'm at. Because it can always be worse. Amen. Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So the question is, are we following verse 6? You know, I told y'all before, learn verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, let your request. If you don't follow the prescription, how many of y'all ever go to the doctor? Go to the doctors. I'm not too good at this. I feel a lot too with doctors. I go to the doctor. He said, doctor, I can't tell you because I'm a doctor. But you ever go to the doctors, and the doctor tell you to do something to help yourself, and you start it, and you stop, and you get worse? Well, why did you get worse? Because you didn't follow the prescription. Right? Even especially if you're taking antibiotics, you can't start it on an antibiotic and halfway through decide I don't want to take it. Because the thing that you have come that back that much worse. So you have to follow the prescription. As it is in medicine, how much more should it be in church? We need to follow the prescription. Amen. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth, when you do it God's way, you have peace. When you do it your way, you have misery. You have no joy. You have no peace. When you do it God's way, even though you don't understand it. God always told his disciples, he said, you don't have to understand it, but just believe. Right? We don't have to always understand the word of God, but just believe it. I remember I used to hear that when I first got saved. There's a lot of stuff I didn't understand, but when I believed it, in the middle of nowhere, I'd be sitting somewhere, and it's like God would turn on the light because I believed. Many of us, God can't turn on the light because we don't believe. But you have to believe, amen? And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your and minds through Christ Jesus. We all know this. This is our scripture we learned years ago. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a... Don't let nobody tell you a whole lot of garbage, right? It got to be a what kind of report? A good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now let's get down to verse 11. We're going to read verses 11 and 12, and we will close here for tonight. Paul said all of that. Now where's Paul writing from? He's in prison. And Paul is trying to encourage somebody else from prison. And he says in verse 11, not that I speak in... What? Now, if we were in prison, we'd be trying to figure out how to get out of prison. Seriously, I mean, just say you're in prison right now, we're going to be trying to encourage somebody else. You'll be like, get me out of here. All right, one of those commercials, somebody had a commercial, get me out of here. Who was that? I don't know, some commercial years ago. Get me out of here. That's what you'd be saying. Get me, but not Paul. Paul said, even though I'm in a negative, bad situation, he said, not that I speak in respect to one, for I have learned whatsoever state I am. How can you be content in prison? Because he was doing it for God. Whatever you do for God, you can be content, even when it's unfavorable. Because you know eventually God's going to work it out. So as we all stand, can we walk in godly sincerity? Well, you cannot be godly sincere if you don't have no contentment. If you rough, and always complaining and murmuring, that is not content. God gets no honor out of that. So for you to get God's blessings and God's favor, you have to walk according to the plan that he has put in the book. Everything about life is in the book. You can read, I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 1, said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and God. Where is it at? It's in the book. You cannot be sincere, you cannot walk in godly sincerity if you're not honest. And simplicity is mental honesty. You have to be first honest in your mind. Not what you're projecting, what are you thinking? You cannot think one thing and if not honest. So to be godly sincere, you have to walk in simplicity and humility.